I'm thankful to God that for 24 years our children were raised around people like you who loved God, who loved their pastor, who were willing to give, who loved missionaries, who bought buses, who built buildings, who started a school, who started a college, who believed that God had something to do in Southern California in their generation. I'm glad they have grown up seeing a faith that works, and I would like to see a whole bunch of other kids grow up in the same exact way.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. Whether we're studying about life's journey or whether we're learning more about God's power, we know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk. Tonight we're here to do the business of the Lord Jesus Christ and to learn how to go forward doing the work that God has called us to do. And I've simply entitled the message tonight, Ministry by His Spirit. And how can we see the ministry of Christ go forward by the Spirit of God? Read with me, if you would, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, and I'd ask you to read it out loud with me. Ready, begin. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Shall we pray? Our Father, tonight I thank you for the privilege to learn and discover and to share about ministry by your Spirit. Lord, you know many, many hours of prayer and preparation have gone into this night. And I pray in these next few moments that you would help those with a tickle in their throat to be able to withhold their cough a bit. Those that may have a tendency to walk maybe to the restroom or out to the back, that you just still them. And Lord, for the next 20, 30 minutes, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have complete freedom to settle us into this room, and though we're a bit crowded tonight. I pray that you would have complete freedom to convey this scriptural vision from heart to heart, from family to family, and that by your Spirit we would at least leave here tonight knowing what needs to be done and knowing how you could do it. And then, Lord, that we would yield ourselves to the work that you want to do. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for the way you work in our hearts tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are several expansion programs in the Old Testament whereby the power and Spirit of God, room was made so that the work and worship of God could continue. No doubt the most famous of those projects was Solomon's temple. And we have learned how that David laid up of his own gold and silver, how that he had prepared the way, and God said to David, you cannot personally build the temple because you've been a man of war, but your son Solomon will erect the temple. And in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 10, the Bible says, Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. There was no doubt that God wanted that temple built, and He wanted it built for His glory. We have learned in recent weeks from the book of Zechariah that God later in history allowed the returning of His people from captivity in Babylon, and He allowed them to restore that temple. It was not as great in size, but it was every bit as great in beauty and grandeur. And it was under the direction of Ezra and Zerubbabel that the temple was refurbished, rebuilt, and rededicated to the glory of God. And God used prophets like Haggai and Zechariah to encourage the people of God not to just scrape off the foundation, not simply to prepare the cornerstone, but to go ahead and erect this structure for the glory of God. We learn further about building programs in the Bible as we read the book of Nehemiah, because we learned there
that God did not merely want the temple erected in Ezra's day, but he wanted the temple protected. He wanted Jerusalem to be a holy city, a wonderful place where the people of God could worship in freedom. And in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17, Nehemiah said, "Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Nehemiah's obedience, Nehemiah's vision, Nehemiah's astounding leadership potential would never have been known and realized had the people of his day not said, "Let us rise up and build." And so it was with the tabernacle. In the days of Moses, the people of God offered willingly. With the temple in the days of Solomon, the people of God involved themselves happily. And as the building of the wall around Jerusalem was built and finished in 52 days, the people of God said, "Let us do the work that God has called us to do." And we see throughout the scripture, whenever God's people follow the Holy Spirit's leading in their life, the work of God is accelerated to the glory of God. Building and expansion ministries increase capacity for the work of God in a particular location. Building and expansion ministries, although in the form that we understand today, relatively new, if you will, in the scope of world history, are vitally necessary in reaching people with the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, tonight we sit here, of all things, in 2010, talking about how to go forward with the work of the Lord. And I say to you tonight, the darker the night, the brighter the light. Oh, there's a lot of discouragement in the land, but there's a great opportunity tonight to do the work that God has called us to do. I want you to think about that with me in the first place tonight, the opportunity of ministry. Think, if you would, on this night, concerning the opportunity that God has given to us as a church for ministry. Someone might ask the question tonight, why do we continually press forward? Why did we add a Korean class? And why are we adding adult classes? And why are we adding bus routes? And why is it that all of these things will be discussed tonight? And I would say, by way of introduction to answering that question, that our beliefs will always determine our behavior. Our beliefs will always determine our behavior. We believe the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. We believe Jesus Christ has commissioned His church. We believe that people spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And so, frankly, tonight, if you believe in the mandates of Scripture, then your behavior should reflect those beliefs. I believe tonight that great convictions then will precede great actions. And when we believe with all of our heart that this United States of America needs an old-fashioned revival, we believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He still loves people, and He still wants to save people, then the opportunity of ministry that is set before us becomes much clearer in our mind. And I want to share a few of the opportunities that we have before us if we will, by His Spirit, make greater capacity a possibility in this place. I think, first of all, tonight, of the opportunity for outreach. The Bible is very clear in Matthew chapter 28 that we are to go into all the world baptizing and teaching and developing and planting churches to the glory of God. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." I believe tonight there is a great opportunity before us to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This past week, more than 8,000 times, someone from this church went to someone else's door or to their place of business with a gospel tract and at least endeavored to invite them to the house of God. I believe that is pleasing to the one who said, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in." When I think of the opportunity for ministry, I think tonight of the great responsibility ability we have to reach our valley and to reach our world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also recognize that as we go out and make such invitations, and as the Lord's Holy Spirit works on the hearts of people, the last thing we want to do is frustrate them when they get here. And sometimes when people are struggling to find a seat or struggling to find a place to park or having trouble pulling into the lot, there have been occasions when people who would have come in decided not to come in and went on by and missed the opportunity to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why on the front burner of all that we'll be talking about tonight, we're going to speak about this driveway project. Sometimes it's hard as a pastor to get excited and to get others excited about underground water lines and underground sewer lines and fire hydrants and even driveways. But I want to just simply say tonight that if we're going to continue going out to several thousand homes a week and literally compelling and begging people to come to the house of God, I believe we ought to at least make enough room for them to get in. Now, the city has stated that before we build another building, we've got to build some more driveways, and we're glad to comply with that. And I want you to pray with me that in the next few weeks, we'll see this project begin in earnest. I'm praying that by the time we open the doors for the next, Lord willing, record enrollment at West Coast Baptist College and Lancaster Baptist School, that this driveway will be complete, will facilitate a lot of good things for the ongoing daily ministry and weekend ministry of this church. This is more than just a driveway. I'd like to say a few things about the project tonight. It will include work on the intersection of 40th Street and Lancaster Boulevard, about $74,000 worth of work to create sidewalks, street lighting, and curb around Hudson Hall, as we have been assigned by our city to take that corner and build the sidewalks and the streetlights. I might add tonight, as I mentioned the sidewalks and streetlights, we will build them and then we will give them back to the city as a Christmas gift. And I want to add for the record, you'll never read about that in the paper. You'll never be told in the paper about the street lights and curbs and gutters that we then deed back to the city. But it's okay, because today is We Love Lancaster Day. And so we just wanted to say, have some curbs and gutters. And around Lancaster Boulevard and 40th Street, you'll see also a right turn lane onto the eastbound area of Lancaster Boulevard, a left turn lane added to the southbound of 40th Street. That's $74,000 on the corner. Now then, we move to 40th Street itself. And along 40th Street, there's much to be done. And by the grace of God in the years to come, we want to see buildings and parking lots going all the way to Avenue J. Amen? But we've got to get some things ready before that takes place. And so, we're going to widen 40th Street to the tune of 1,420 feet of widening of 40th Street. We'll improve from the center line to the current fence of our property, 3/4 of the way down to Avenue J. There will be new curb, gutter, and sidewalk for 1,420 feet along 40th Street. There will be two right turn lanes coming into the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. There will be 14 streetlights purchased by our ministry, erected by our ministry, and deeded to the city by our ministry. There will be a city bus stop built for the Antelope Valley Transportation Department, and complete with bleachers, benches, and a shelter built for the city and given to the city by our church. And by the way, I'm thankful that there will be a bus stop coming right to Lancaster Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. And so the cost of all of the 40th Street widening will be around $600,000. Not only will we be adding streets to the corner of 40th and Lancaster Boulevard, not only will we be widening the frontage doing our part as the development here, but then we're going to actually build the driveway. The driveway itself is only about $300,000, and that's why I wanted to give you a little more detail tonight on this massive project, really. It's much more than a driveway. Frankly, you need to widen 40th, and you need the ingress and egress, and you need all of the square footage along 40th in order to make room into the driveway, so it really does all connect. There will be four lanes, two lanes coming in, two lanes coming out. there will be 300 feet of this particular driveway landscaped in the middle with landscape that's being developed at this time. And then we will make adjustments within the parking lot. When you come onto the campus, you're not just going to be dumped into the parking lot, but there will be an interior road that will be built around the dormitories so that you'll be able to go from that road into the various parking lots that are being designed and some redesigned. The current on-site traffic flow issues will be resolved. Additional handicap spaces will be placed behind Gibbs and Revels buildings, and the new landscaping will be placed in the designated areas. And I simply say these things tonight so that you would understand and so that we all can rejoice in the fact that when visitors come and when the unsafe come, there's going to be plenty of room. There's going to be a comfortable direction coming into the campus so that this campus says to the entire Antelope Valley, welcome, we're glad you're here, and we have room for you. And this is our goal. And I've seen God at work in a great way. And we don't often get up and speak about some of the numerical things, but I did see this afternoon that our church is averaging in the first 8 weeks or so that we've experienced, the first 6 weeks rather of this year, averaging about 250 per week, more than the same six-week period 1 year ago. I did see a family baptized this morning, and I remember the story from the couple's retreat, how that Brother and Mrs. Willie De Leon went to their home with a Thanksgiving basket of all things, just to share the love of Christ with our neighbors, and in the process had the privilege of leading them to Christ, inviting them to their Sunday school, and this morning, to the glory of God, they were baptized identifying with Jesus Christ. I did get an email this past Tuesday night from Brother Andrew Jones, who's the young man who sings some on Sundays, and who is the editor of the Baptist Voice magazine, which I believe is one of the finest Christian publications that ever will come to your mailbox. And Brother Andrew emailed me and said, Pastor, tonight out soul winning, I had the privilege to lead a couple to Christ that had heard about our church through one of the newsletters we mailed. Not only did I get to design the newsletter, I got to lead a couple to Christ who came because of the newsletter. Those stories can be told every week at Lancaster Baptist Church because we believe in the great opportunity and, in fact, the great obligation to reach out into our community. And so, when we talk about expansion the next few years, we're talking about creating a driveway, creating an easement, creating room for not just a few, but for folks to come in mass to hear the message of Jesus Christ. We believe that God has commanded us to go into all the world and to bring them in, to go into the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. And in order to get it done, we're going to make one of those highways a little bigger this year. Amen. And so outreach. But there's a second opportunity that is addressed in this year's consideration, and that is our belief and our conviction in the primacy of the preached Word of God. As we have considered the many needs of this church, and as I pray diligently and ask God for wisdom regarding stewardship and where to go in the next several months and few years, it became obvious that one of our pressing needs was right here staring me in the eye every Sunday night. Most Sunday mornings, the auditorium is filled and folks are in the balcony. But on Sunday nights, for the last many months, we've been setting up chairs in the back. We've been having folks sit in the choir loft and in the orchestra pit. And we've been doing all that we can do to get folks in. And one of my great responsibilities as a pastor is to remove anybody's excuse for not coming to church. And I believe in Three to Thrive, and I believe Sunday night's a special night. And God began to speak to my heart that before we would add to auxiliary ministry, educational or recreational, that we needed to take a look at the place where really the main ministry happens, and the main ministry is the preaching of the Word of God. And that if we would address the preaching center, this building sometimes called worship center, but I might call it tonight the preaching center. That if we would make sure there's plenty of room for the preaching of the Word of God, that the educational and recreational and the rest of it will be done as we keep the main thing the main thing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And so you've seen some of the pictures tonight, and I draw your attention to the brochure as well as to the slide up in front. And if you'll open the centerpiece of this brochure tonight, you'll get a little glimpse of what can happen when these non-bearing walls are taken out. I do not know exactly when in the construction process that would be, but sometime along the way, those walls would be taken out, and you see the balcony, how it would wrap around, and you see the extension of the pews that would be made, and the additional seating allowing us to bring roughly 900 to 1,000 folks into this auditorium on a Sunday night. And folks, by the way, here tonight, we're not speaking about something with half the pews empty. I think if you could just take what I'm saying tonight and multiply it a year or two down the road, all of God's people would say, this is not a want, this is a need for Lancaster Baptist Church. And so we see the preaching and the place being expanded because of our conviction concerning the preaching of the Word of God. I think about Resurrection Sunday, and I think about Leadership Conference, and I think about Youth Conference with teenagers coming. And many of these events where we're having overflow here and overflow there, making room for people to come into the house of God. And I want to say something tonight. I may say it a few other times. I believe it is tremendously exciting that in the middle of a so-called recession, in a difficult time of doomsaying and gloominess, that you and I are even here tonight, even talking about expanding the work of God. That's a blessing to my heart. And I believe it's pleasing to the Lord, because without faith it's impossible to please Him. Well, tonight the opportunity of ministry involves soul winning and outreach. The opportunity of ministry involves preaching and making room for preaching. Thirdly, the opportunity for ministry involves the teaching of the Word of God. There has been a need since day one coming to this campus for more classrooms and more places to teach the Word of God and counsel people from the Word of God and disciple people from the Word of God. Teaching helps to ground people in their faith concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 28 and verse 30, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence." What was Paul doing there? He was grounding people in the Word of God. Teaching helps people to get established, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, and grounded in their faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as the Lord allows us to expand this auditorium out, we'll also be adding upstairs on both sides a number of classes that will facilitate approximately 400 more people in the educational setting of the Lancaster Baptist Church and daily ministries throughout the week. And we thank God for room that we might add educational space for those in ministry. Not only does it help to ground people in the Word of God, but let me say secondly, it helps people to be guarded in the Word of God. You know, the Bible says in Acts 20:28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock." Teaching helps people to be grounded, helps people to be guarded, and that's why I'm excited about new classrooms, a place where people can learn and grow and understand the methods and the doctrines of the Word of God. We believe tonight our opportunity, our obligation revolves around soul winning and preaching and teaching. And then may I say, fourthly, God has given to us the privilege of fellowshipping one with another. Acts 2 and verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Now I want you just to think about the lobby of the Lancaster Baptist Church, if you would, for a moment. The average architectural studies that I've done and in speaking now to over the years, many, many church architects say that the church lobby should be about 15% the size of the main auditorium. I know of one church that just built a lobby for their church that is much larger than the size of a collegiate basketball gymnasium. our lobby would be less than 5% of the size of this building. And just frankly, it's one crowded place. And you know, the idea of a lobby ought to be a place where you're not hurried, where you could sit down, where you could fellowship, where you could sit down with a visitor, where you could bring visitors to maybe have a cup of coffee, to give them a map for orientation purposes. And one of the needs we have as a ministry is for more areas for fellowship. That's why we not only in time want to expand the main lobby out, but in this next project, we're going to add two lobbies, one on the east and one on the west, where visitors coming from the guest parking can be properly greeted, treated, and seated, and where folks coming from the educational space can grab their necessities and come on in to the house of God. And I am excited about the wraparound hallway and the facilitation of fellowship that will bring. I'm excited that folks won't have to come in and interrupt the preaching after providing special music, but they can go around the hallway and come in from the back. I'm excited that the building will connect to the nurseries and the educational space through the hallways and through the new lobbies, and that fellowship will be better facilitated as we expand this building. And then I think not only of the matters of outreach and preaching and teaching and fellowship, but God has given us also the privilege of caring for the people of this church in every age group. And one of the great, great needs of our church right now, frankly, is for nursery space. This morning, not counting the Spanish nurseries, which are growing rapidly, there were 210 babies, 0 to 3 years old, at Lancaster Baptist Church. And as the nurseries are growing, we're finding a great need for more space. We're finding a need to have the younger children in the proximity of the auditorium, closer to those first-time parents, where they might be able to recognize that they're within a close distance to caring for their child if the need would arise. Jesus said in Mark 10:14, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." I believe if there's an area where our resources are well spent, besides preaching, besides soul winning, I believe helping young families is one of the great needs of a growing church, making room for the little children. I was thinking about our grandson Camden while I prepared this message, and I thought I'd bring Camden out here tonight just to visit with him about some of these items and just to talk about the fact if we started this today, he would only get about maybe about 6 or 8 months of these new nurseries. So I think we need to start a little sooner than that. But hey, Pete, how you doing? Hey, Camden. Hey, buddy. Now, fellas, let's get the cameras going here. Let's get the screens going. And quite frankly, folks, if you're wondering about what's all the expansion about, it's right here. Just this little fella right here. And making room for him and all his buddies. They need walls to color. They need room to hang out. Can you say hi to Papa? Can you say hi, Papa? Come here, buddy. Hey, let's see how we're standing tonight. Whoa. Way to go. Hey. Want to see all the people? Say hi to all the people there. Now tell them, will you build me a nursery? Some of these folks, they'd say no to Grandpa if they could. They're not saying no to you. Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Get a nursery built. He agrees with me on everything. We often talk about going to Disneyland together without his parents. They're too busy. They got to work. Me and Grandma, we're free. We got that planned, you know. He's already enrolled at West Coast Baptist College. He's excited about it. He already wants to preach. We've settled that. Tell him. Preach it. Get right with God. Say it. Get right with God. Pound on the pulpit a little bit. Come on, you're not going to keep them waiting, sucking your thumb like that. Right? You know, the opportunity of ministry. I think about when we came here, and I've asked the Lord if He'd let me. I've asked the Lord to let me stay here for many years to come. I've been here just 24. I'd like to stay around long enough to see this little fella graduate from high school and college too. I'll tell you, it just went like that. Just went like that since our family first came. And we've tried and tried. We started a school when we just had asphalt, no grass. And we did what we could. And then we've had some modulars and we've put up some buildings. We put up a little gym and we've tried to do the best we can. But I really believe that this generation right here is coming behind us. And I believe there's a great opportunity for the ministry. Don't you believe it, Camden? Kind of sleepy tonight, isn't he? Come here, buddy. Hey, can you say Papa? Huh? Come on. What in the world? Hey. Hey, man. Say hi. Okay. All right. Kind of tired, isn't he? Pete, where are you? Come up here and get him, buddy. All right. See you later, alligator. There you go. Thanks, Peter. You know, young parents are finicky about their kids. Young grandparents are finicky about their kids. I'm telling you right now, I want to make sure we have good, clean nurseries for our babies. A place where a new family would come in and they're already apprehensive. But we want to put a couple nurseries on both sides of this auditorium that are state-of-the-art, welcome center in between the two of them, spacious and clean, and the kind of place everybody would feel like, that's awesome that they have something like that for our little children. The opportunity of ministry, it involves outreach. That's why the driveway. It involves preaching. That's why this room needs to be bigger. It involves matters of education. That's why having classrooms for another 400 is exciting to me. It involves the matter of caring for this younger and next generation. And that's why having new nurseries is so exciting and thrilling for me. And so the opportunity abounds before us tonight. But I want you to think for the next few moments with me about the operation of ministry. The operation of ministry. Someone might ask tonight, all right, yeah, there's opportunity, but how does this get done? I mean, how are we going to be able to operate and see these things accomplished? The driveway and street widening is over $1 million for asphalt. That's before we even start with some kind of stick and mortar. And how are we going to get all of these things done, someone might ask. Well, I just want to say very quickly, it's not going to happen by depending on the economy. One of my greatest goals this year is to help our church keep an upward look. Because if we look around us, it's discouraging. If we listen around us, it's discouraging. University of California system can't quite keep things going. They've increased their tuition by 32% in the last 2 years, just trying to maintain the status quo. And we see many places of education and many houses of worship that are struggling and struggling. We know of many churches that are having a struggle just to keep the status quo. We're not talking tonight about keeping the status quo. We're talking about marching on the upward way, new heights we're gaining every day. And by the way, we ought never be satisfied with the status quo. God has commanded us to occupy until He come. But we cannot put our faith in the economy. The county of Los Angeles has a projected county deficit of $197 million this year. The state of California predicts in the next 3 years that they will have a deficit of $38 billion and in the next year, $19.9 billion. The federal government is now operating with a national debt of $12.4 trillion. Folks, I don't think we better stand around waiting for the government to help us with this. I don't think our hope is in the economy. I think there's one answer on how this will operate and how this will work, and that is by His Spirit providing for us, you see. How's it all going to happen? There are three ways we can attempt to do the work of God. We can trust in our own strength and wisdom. We can borrow from the resources of the world, or we can depend on the power of God. And this year's theme is all about the third, depending on the power of God. How will this happen? I submit to you it will happen in the first place by His Spirit working in our hearts. Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. That means as each of us individually, let the Holy Spirit tonight at least put the desire in our heart. The Bible says He will give us not only the will, but He will give us the enabling to do His will. What that means tonight is that if there's someone in this room who says, I don't know how I could give 30 days from now in the offering to help with the driveway and begin this project Pastor speaking about, I don't know how it will happen, but I have a desire to be a part of it. It simply means if you will let God give you the desire, He will give you the enabling. And for those tonight who say, I want to be a part of what God is doing, then God will, by His Spirit, give you a way to do His work. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is nothing to fear. This is something to be thankful for, something to be excited about. I think of the Spirit of God at work at Jerusalem, and you read through the book of Acts, and some simply get excited about a cloven tongues of fire and foreign tongues of languages being spoken. And certainly that was an exciting phenomena of the day. But you know what excites me more at Jerusalem? 3,000 souls being saved and baptized. You know what excites me even more than that is when we come to Acts 7 and 8 and the persecution spreads them abroad and they go everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You read the book of Acts and you'll find they were selling what they could to help this church and that church and to help one another. There was a spirit of sacrifice and a spirit of love and a spirit of soul winning. And all of it happened because of 120 people in a little place called the upper room there in Jerusalem who prayed and prayed and they sought the power and the filling of God. And we read in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I'm simply telling you that God took a bunch of poor believers in a first century setting called Jerusalem, and by His Spirit they turned the known world upside down because the Holy Spirit had worked through them. I'm saying tonight, whether it's preaching or teaching or singing or giving or sending a missionary or any effective ministry of the local church, it will all begin with God's Spirit touching a heart and God's people following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not about a man's words of enticement, and it's not about some Fifth Avenue sales technique. I have learned after 24 years, you cannot sustain spiritual momentum without the Holy Spirit at work, you see. You can get excited for one building program, but you can't maintain that kind of momentum for 24 years without the help of God, without the Holy Spirit of God. I think of even the matter of preaching every week. I think of some great evangelists who may preach to a crowd of 10 or 50,000 once a year or every 4 or 5 years. But when you're in the same place with people every single week and God is blessing and God is adding every single week, there must be a fresh touch of God every single week. And so the ministry operates not by our might, not because we have a few wealthy members. And by the way, if you know who they are, let me know. Will you write after church? It's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's not by our relationship. It's not by our own wisdom. It's by the Spirit of God that ministry takes place. And so I simply ask you tonight, as you consider the opportunity, I ask you to let the Spirit of God operate freely within your heart these next few weeks, that we would together do what God has called us to do. And then secondly, the operation will take place by His wisdom. I believe tonight all of us need the wisdom of God. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. A pastor friend of mine a few years ago was in a building program. And on a Sunday night, the Lord laid on his heart, I've thought of doing this, just never have come to the point of doing it. The Lord laid on his heart to give every member in his church $5 30 days before their offering and ask them to multiply it. And he said, Brother Chappell, it's amazing what folks did. What folks made and sold and how folks invested. So, and I think their need was perhaps a little bit of a different need and the concept a little bit of a different concept. And so your starting point may or may not be $5, but I suggest to you tonight that God has given us His Spirit to motivate us and change our hearts and to change us from perhaps being stingy to being generous. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But God has given us a mind and God has given us His Word, and He says you should seek wisdom in these matters and seek a way and pray for ways that you might have a part. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. And the way this work will go forward is by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the wisdom of God. And the Bible says there are those that keep and it tends to poverty, and there are those that scatter and it tends to their blessing. And we need the wisdom that is from above, not the earthly wisdom, if we're going to see the work of God accomplished in this place. And so we're to lay up treasures, the Bible says, in heaven, and we're to give that it may be given unto us. And the wisdom of which we speak is not man's logic, but the wisdom of God for doing the work of God. His operation takes place by His Spirit, and it takes place by His wisdom. And may I say, thirdly, it takes place by His people. Tonight, let's just make it personal for a moment. It's not a matter of sitting here tonight and saying, boy, I hope Pastor has a lot of God's Spirit. And I hope he has a lot of wisdom. I mean, building these streets, and doesn't he know that the stock market's down and that the housing market's down and the economy's down? And does Pastor live on the same planet I live on? And someone might say, God help the pastor. But I want to tell you something tonight. The only way this gets done is as God helps all of us. It's by His Spirit, it's by His wisdom, and it's by His people. I remember the first time we had an offering like this in 1988. We called it giving by faith. Giving by faith. We were giving by faith because we did not know what we were giving to. We had no pictures. We had no video. We had no goldfish like that. I certainly had no grandchildren. What we had was a belief that we serve a big God and that He wanted to do greater works than these and that He wanted us to enlarge the place of our habitation. And so by faith, I asked folks to come together in the old auditorium and we had some music and some preaching and we had the world's longest buffet dinner. And then we had an offering. And by faith, less than 50 people, maybe 40, gave that night $50,000. And that's how it started. A few days later, the required down payment for the property where we sit tonight was $50,000. And though I wasn't an expert at real estate and I didn't realize that we were going to have to bring water lines and sewer lines and power lines and that we were going to have to do archaeological studies to make sure there's no leftover Indian ruins and I mean that we have to remove Joshua trees and I had no idea what buying a barren piece of property would bring in the way of all these things, I was just so excited that God had given us a place where we could move to someday. And by faith, God's people got excited. And folks, we would come out here sometime in the spring to have picnics on our big day. We'd set up a tent, and sometimes we would forget that the wind does blow 70 to 80 miles an hour between 1 and 2 in the afternoon on Sundays. And I'm telling you what, we had some of the best sand burgers you've ever eaten out here on this property. But it never dampened my spirit. I was just so glad God had given us a place where we could come, where we could build. By faith. By faith, people gave. And the next year, by faith, people gave again. And God began to allow us to pay for the property. And we felt like we wanted to have the property paid for before we started the building program. And then a few years into that, we began to see God allow us the privilege of building the North Building. And by faith, we built the North Building. And I remember going out many times late at night, midnight, 1 a.m. I'd see Brother Lofgren, Brother Weibel, some of these men praying in our little prayer pew there. Many men that would work different shift work, they'd come by and they would pray and they would sign the little prayer pew and the clipboard there. I have all the sheets of paper in my office and the time and the name and who prayed there and maybe a verse that they would write down. And I remember seeing God's people praying and asking and trusting and seeking the face of God. And I remember coming by on the way to school and bringing the kids by. And here's Christine and Danielle and Larry and Matt. And Matt, by the way, has a gun in his hand right there. He's just on security post there, making sure everything was okay with those contractors. I'm so glad that my children grew up seeing faith that worked. I'm glad they grew up seeing Brother Lofgren pray at the prayer pew and Brother Weibel pray at the prayer pew and seeing so many of you there in prayer. I'm glad they grew up hearing stories about someone who sold this or that or someone who made this or that sacrifice. I'm glad they got to see the concrete pumps going high in the sky and bringing the concrete down. I'm glad they got to see the block wall go up and the plumbers come in and the framers come in and the drywallers come in. And I'm glad they got to smell the smell of new carpet. And I'm glad they got to see the new bathrooms, especially in the North Building. You just put your hand in like that and take them out and they turned on. That was one of the most exciting things in that building program right there. If you haven't been in the North Building lately, just need a good quick thrill, just run over there right after church. Just put your hand in there and take it out and the water would come on. I don't know how many hours we just stood in there and said, isn't that great? Talk about state of the art. That's state of the art right there, brother. I'm just saying tonight, I'm glad that my children, now I have three that are married and one engaged this past week, and that would indicate to me he wants to be married too. And that essentially in many ways means that they're just about raised. I mean, I try to offer some thoughts in the aftermath of marriage and try to help them with some ideas, but essentially our family's raised. But I want to say tonight, I'm thankful to God that for 24 years our children were raised around people like you who loved God, who loved their pastor, who were willing to give, who loved missionaries, who bought buses, who built buildings, who started a school, who started a college, who believed that God had something to do in Southern California in their generation. I'm glad they have grown up seeing a faith that works, and I would like to see a whole bunch of other kids grow up in the same exact environment. In the weeks to come, I'll share with you a global map and show you more specifically where 1,000 graduates of this college live and serve and preach and teach tonight. And show you where many graduates of our high school are serving the Lord tonight. And I'm just simply saying tonight, they've come alongside of us, these young people, and they get a sense that we really believe God, and they get a sense that it can be done in a wicked day, and it catches into their spirit. And I'm so thankful that it all began with some people who said, I want to be a man or a woman of faith. And because of that faith, God has been working. It wasn't long till that building was finished. It wasn't long till another building was begun. And I might say tonight that faith cannot be developed in comfortable surroundings. God doesn't do His best work when we've just got money rolling around us. He doesn't do His best work when everything's just fine and dandy. And sometimes it's with a mindset that I would say, oh Lord, I don't know in my mind, and as I look around how humanly it can be done, but You said it can be done. So I trust You and I ask You to develop my faith. That's how it was for the churches of Macedonia. If you turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, their faith grew in the midst of their financial trial, and they trusted God for their needs, and God met their needs. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul said to them, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power, now please take note of this, to their power, that means with what they had, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They said, hey, here's what I have, and whatever else God gives, I'm willing to give it to Him. They did what they could, and they did beyond what they could by the power of God. And Paul said, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. He said, they were begging me to take the offering. They were glad to have part in the offering. And though they didn't have a lot, they did have faith, and they did believe that God could use them. Sometimes I've been humbled by the faith of the members of Lancaster Baptist Church. I've learned that unsaved people don't understand it, and I've learned that carnal Christians sometimes resent it because it puts them under conviction for their lack of faith. And I've learned a lot from faithful Christians. I think of some of the Christians in the Philippines that I've met. And I remember preaching there a few years ago for Brother Martin. And as Brother Martin stood in the pulpit there at the missions conference, he was speaking to people, many of them living in just abject poverty. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, now folks, let me have your attention. He said, we are so blessed here in the Philippines. I'll be honest with you, if I was a missionary in the Philippines, I would have trouble asking them to give to too much. I'd want to raise lots of money other places to give to them. But Brother Martin knows that's the way to ruin a church on the mission field. That they need to learn how to give themselves. And Brother Martin said, folks, I want to tell you something. We are so blessed to live in the Philippines. He said, there are people tonight in Haiti who are so poor. And he said, we need to pray for people in Haiti and Cambodia because they don't have very much. He was talking to people, some of them who made $5 a week. He was talking to people who had holes in their shoes. He was talking to people who would not know where their meal would come from, telling them how blessed they were. And that night there was a man that surrendered his life to be a missionary to Haiti. And tonight there's a Filipino couple from Rick Martin's church that lives in Haiti, that preaches the gospel, that's helping people in their time of need because somebody who didn't have very much was willing to give of themselves and beyond themselves, they said, by the faith that they have in God, they wanted to have part in the work of God. I'll never forget finishing the service that night. And I mean, it's not a matter of preaching hard to sweat. You just walk outside and sweat over there. I mean, it was a humid night, a hot night. And as I was leaving, people gave me various envelopes. And I remember one envelope, I opened it up late that night as I was getting ready for the flight home. And inside of it, there was a note, thank you for preaching for us, in 5 pesos. The better part of someone's work week of pay. I didn't know who to give it back to. Why? Because Brother Martin had taught them not to think about what they could get, but what they could give. People of faith. You see, God is looking tonight for people of faith, and God is looking for people who will pray, not people who say, well, I just don't know how this can happen. There's a rough time. He's looking for people who will say, yes, I don't know how it will happen, but God obviously does. And the Bible says in John 15 and verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And 1 John chapter 5, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that are desire of him. Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not equip us for the greater works. Prayer is the greater work. And so Paul the Apostle wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians 4:19, and he said to that missionary giving church, he said, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I say to you tonight with God as my witness, that as I have shared with you the driveway and the auditorium and the nurseries and the lobby, and every single thing I have shared with you tonight is an absolute need. It is not a luxury. It is not a desire. It is not a want. Having a place to preach to people, having a place to help people get in, having a place to put babies, these are not luxurious items, my friend. These are needs. And as we a few months ago made commitments to our missionaries for several $100,000, and as we have now taken all the new missionaries on to our support budget, may I simply say that I ask you tonight to join with me in saying, God, you promised that you would supply our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And our church has some needs. And Lord, as you bless my life, I want to be a part of meeting those needs by your grace and for your glory. You see, expanding the ministry container at Lancaster Baptist Church is all about seeing God work by his Spirit. Well, the opportunity of ministry involves preaching and education, fellowship, nurseries, and caring for people. And then the operation of ministry takes place by his Spirit, by faith, and by people who are growing and trusting God. And then I want you to see finally tonight the outcome of ministry. The outcome of ministry. How will this happen? When will this happen? That's what people like to ask. When will this happen? And I cannot say exactly tonight when we'll turn these side lawns into construction sites. I'm praying about that. I can say that very soon we should be able to see tractors building the driveway and the street. Amen? Amen. That I can say. But people like to know when and how. Let me say that the when for these projects is first and foremost determined by our preparation. I believe God's already moving, but we must be preparing. One of our members told me this week, he said, I've been writing a check every single week for my offering in March. I've been doing that since early last fall, writing a check. Others have prepared in different ways. Tonight, we're here to prepare and think about what God would have us to do. That's what Paul was doing in the Corinthian believers' hearts. Notice, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and notice how he was helping them to prepare for the work that God had called them to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. The Bible says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. That's what we're doing tonight. We're exhorting the brethren. I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty or offering, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And so Paul was telling them concerning the New Testament offering, you need to determine now to be a part. And I challenge you tonight to simply make that basic determination. You don't have to determine an amount, but you can determine now, I want to have a part in what God is going to do. do. And to the extent that we make that determination, and secondly, to the extent that we participate in this opportunity, then we'll begin to see the outcome that we believe God desires us to have. And I want you to turn there to 2 Corinthians 9 once again, and notice in verse number 6 these words that we read in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. In other words, God says, I'm going to help you get this done. Now take your brochure out, and let me just share a couple things with you before we go to the dinners tonight. And I want you to turn, if you would, to the page past the auditorium and past some of the history, and look at the place that says how to express your faith. And the actual commitment card here is a little small, and I apologize for that. We'll have larger print ones available soon. But many of our members understand what this is, but I want our new members to understand how we are going to participate 1 month from now as Dr. Gibbs comes and preaches and as the offering is made. First of all, we ask all of our members to begin praying that God would enable us to give a sacrificial cash offering on that day. I'm praying that we'll see such an offering come in, that we'll be able to see this road and driveway project get well underway and paid for in a few short months. And I want you to pray that way with me. And so the cash offering is given. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 2, you have not because you ask not. Many folks will fulfill last year's commitment as they bring their cash offering on that special Sunday, March the 14th. Secondly, we'll pass out a card similar to the card you see in the middle here. And this card is a card whereby we make a commitment for the next 12 months. On the top, it says X amount per week times 52. And then it says X amount per month times 12 and the total. Someone may give a particular amount every week. Someone may say, all right, I'll give $100 a week. That's $5,200 over the course of a year. Someone might say, I'll give $1,000 a month. That's $12,000. Someone might give $5 a week or $250. It doesn't matter. But what matters is that you think now about what God would have you to do, and that you do your best in the cash offering and then make a commitment offering. And the commitment is a perforated card so that you place one card in the offering and keep one card for your desk at home. And as you deal with your finances through the year, keep that in mind. Every year we take the cash offering plus the commitment, and we're able to gauge how we're going into the new year, and that allows us to know the answer to this matter of the outcome of the ministry. In other words, based upon the faith of God's people, contracts are signed, plans are made, and we go forward to the glory of God. This past year we saw a miracle take place in this church, and that was the Rebels building not only completed, but completely paid for to the glory of God. By the time that was accomplished, by the time the drawings were drawn for the driveway projects we've described to you, we're getting down to the bottom of the building fund, and it's time to build it back up so that we can do the works that God has called us to do. And so I ask you to read the brochure, think about the cash offering, think about the commitment that you'll make. Don't simply make an impulsive decision 30 days from now. Oh, that's right, today's the day. But as we come together 30 days from now, let us come having prayed, prepared, and studied, and done by faith what God has called us to do. Oh, tonight, I think beyond those things which are humanly attainable, God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. God is looking for people who do not simply want to sit in the bed of ease seeing what they can do, but people who want to see what only God can do. And what a pity that people plan only that which they can accomplish by themselves. I just want to say tonight, I thank God that I've had an opportunity to see in some respects what God can do. Not what we can do, but what God can do. I think of our first Sunday back in 1986. And as I stood and preached that first message and how God began to work in people's hearts. And I think that first Sunday of how God brought Kay and Earl Husband as visitors that day in that first little room with about 20 people. I think how God brought Roy and Jackie Ormsby, and how they began to labor in the ministry and how souls were saved in the early days. I think of this land that was purchased, and you talk about building curbs and gutters and sidewalks and street posts and lamps. We did it all back in 1988 to 1994, and it was all done by faith, just trusting God for the work that He wanted to do. I think of 1994 as the auditorium was dedicated, and as we had Dan Quayle present in the services that day, and as souls were saved and baptized by faith and because of people who said, I want to see what God can do by His Spirit. I think of the worship center. It seemed like such a large project, and how God allowed us to see the project completed just at the year 2000, a $5 million building you're seated in tonight. And we thank God that by His grace and for His glory, it was completed, and it's now being filled 2 and 3 times every Sunday morning, and it's used Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday by over 900 West Coast Baptist College students who sit in this same place and hear the same kind of preaching 5 days a week, and their lives are being molded. I'm telling you tonight, this is one of the most used buildings in all of America. And I might add, whatever it is that you have part in helping to build in this place, you can just go ahead and rest assured, it's going to get used and used and used to the glory of God. You don't attend a church where we build a mausoleum that's used an hour a week. But over and over and over and over again, it's done to the glory of God. I think of 1989, starting by faith, a little school, and having just a little modular type of classrooms with a little video set up and 30 or 40 children, and by faith, and now hundreds have graduated, and now hundreds have gone to serve the Lord. And I think tonight of the fact that there are some 450 students, K through 12, in a members only school. And then I remember that opening of the Bible college, and again 30 or 40 students in 1995. And I remember that first graduating class, Brother Jeremy Whitman, right here, was a graduate. It was a social pass situation, but he did graduate, and we're glad that he's still in the ministry tonight. And you know, we thank God for the fact that from those early days, God has been blessing. But I must tell you tonight, I believe we're still in the early days of what God wants to do. Still seeing just the beginnings. I think of Faith Promise Missions. I think of how this church has given millions of dollars in the midst of building these buildings. In the midst of a $3 million and a $5 million and a $4 million and a $9 million and a $2 and a $2. In the midst of all of these building projects. And by the way, the average pastor lasts about one project. And by the grace of God, He's just kept us going through this time. But through all of it, we've seen God bless, and we kept on supporting missionaries, and we never backed off of our missions program. And for 24 years, we've added more and more and more missions by faith and supported more missionaries to the glory of God. I just am simply saying it's been a wonderful journey of faith. I remember the first time when I started Team Soul Winning on Tuesday night, and we'd gather those little crowds together and try to teach how to lead someone to Christ, and taking them through the book To Seek and to Save, and how people had a heart to learn how to be a soul winner and how to tell people about Jesus. I'm thankful to God that last week, as I said a moment ago, 8,000 homes were visited, and that we're still keeping the main thing of the main thing. And it's all been by faith, and folks have been baptized by faith, and churches have been planted, and dozens of churches now have been helped to start or restart as we've been able to assist financially and prayerfully, and now with graduates from the college. And I'm saying there is much to be done. We have come this far by faith, but we must continue by His Spirit moving ahead. And I say tonight, the opportunity is great. I say tonight, the operation is God-given. It is an operation of faith. It is an operation by His Spirit and by His wisdom. And I say to you tonight, if we will walk by His Spirit, by His wisdom, and by faith in God, then the outcome is already done. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things still not seen. And we can have great confidence right now tonight that God will do something great in our lives if we'll walk not by sight, but if we'll walk by the Word of God and by faith. If we'll walk by His Spirit and trust in His power, then I believe the greatest days of this church are just around the corner. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to the first time I drive onto this property on that new driveway. I look forward to the first day I pull into that deceleration lane. I look forward to the first time those lights run and I say, we built those and gave those to the city. They never put it in the paper. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to walking in the first time the new lobby and going, wow, isn't that something? I look forward to walking in those new nurseries and say, boy, Camden gets 4 months at least in here. I look forward to walking around that new hallway all around this auditorium. Right now you have to go outside. And I'm going to walk around and say, thank God the singers don't have to sing and then come through this door and interrupt me while I'm preaching. If you haven't noticed by now, that bothers me. And I'm going to say, thank God they can walk all the way around and come in the back while I'm preaching. Thank God you can go from this building to that building without coming through the auditorium during preaching time. I'm looking forward to seeing more baptistry space. I'm looking forward one day saying, you folks way up there in the corner of the balcony, you folks walking right down here, look right here. You college students, listen to me right now. I'm just going to practice it. I told my daughters yesterday, won't that be beautiful for weddings? To see the brides coming down the side there. I look forward to these things. And I say to you tonight, the best is yet to come if we'll keep walking in the Spirit, walking by His Spirit, and doing what God has called us to do.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.